Let's take our Bibles and open up to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Tonight's message I expect to be quite brief, which works out well with the business meeting, but the bulk of the chapter I want to deal in one shot, or the best I can to do it in one shot, but to be a longer message. And so we're just going to look at the first couple of verses tonight. Important verses, I don't want to minimize them, but I'll try to bring out what the Lord gave to me in these verses. All right, let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and the importance of it. Help us to learn what you have for us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I see in these passages of Scripture is just simply how to treat others in the church. And God deals with different groups of the church. He breaks it down into four: younger men and older men, younger women and older women. And it's interesting here that he relates it as a family. And I like to stress that our church is a family. And God has brought you into a church family here. And so we're not an organization. I was talking to Sean, was our first time visitor this morning. He was saying that he's been to some churches where he just felt like he was nothing more than a number. And a church ought never descend to that. And, we always need to be a family and treat each other as such. And that's the idea behind this passage of Scripture, treating each other as family. But in these four different groups, there are four different ways that we need to treat each other. He addresses the elders first. Now, sometimes when we read the word elder, it's a technical term for a pastor. But in this setting, it is not. In this setting, it's just talking about the gentlemen that are older than you are. And so whatever your age group is, if there's someone older than you that's a male, here's how you treat them. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And so we know what our relationship with our father was. And I think here the idea is that of respect. I know with my dad, I respected him. When he said something, I knew I had better get at it, because if dad had to dole out some punishment, I didn't want to experience that. And so my dad had my utmost obedience for the most part. And so that's the way we're to treat those men that are older than we are as fathers, with respect. Now, I talked a lot about treating each other with respect, not just those in our church family, but outside our church family in Sunday school, so I'm not going to belabor that aspect of it. But I do want to mention this. It talks about rebuking not an elder, but entreating him. What's the difference between rebuke and entreat? Well, if we were to define the word rebuke literally, it just would mean to strike upon or to beat upon that individual. Now, we're talking about using words here. And so the idea is just running your mouth against someone continuously, cutting them down and berating them and saying negative things about them. You know, that has no place in Christian conversation. I don't care who it is we're talking about, and they may deserve every word that's said, but there's really no place for that in Christian conversation. If we have a beef to settle with someone, come to Sunday school. We'll talk about that here maybe next week. Because God has a solution if someone has wronged us, how we're to get that settled. And it's not the way that's satisfying to the flesh, I'll guarantee you that. But in the end, it is the best way to do it. And grabbing for my bulletin, because I noticed one of the little sayings in our bulletin is, to do good to an enemy may lose him as an enemy. Boy, there's a lot of wisdom in that one statement, because that's God's plan. Is the way to get back in an enemy is to make it so he's not an enemy any longer. And so we're not to rebuke the elder. In fact, I don't believe we're to rebuke anyone, because we're to treat each other with respect, no matter if we're younger or if we're older, if we're male or if we're female, everyone needs to be treated with respect. And so that idea of rebuke is to strike upon or to beat upon with words. All right, now the idea of entreating, and this is, I found interesting. We all, we'll turn over, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse number 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. Here God tells us, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." And so we see Jesus as our advocate here, and we also understand that when we read about the Holy Spirit as our comforter, that's actually the same word translated as advocate here in 1 John chapter 2. And we understand the idea behind that word is someone to come alongside to help or give assistance. Here in 1 John chapter 2, the idea is a judicial setting or a courtroom setting. When we're accused before the Father, we have an advocate. We have, and that's why it's translated perfectly correctly here, because of the scenario and the setting that God is describing for us. When the prosecutor, which is the devil, accuses us as the accuser of the brethren before the Father, who is the righteous judge, Jesus, our advocate, will stand up and plead the blood of Christ, and that he paid for those sins as well. But he comes along beside us to help us. When it's the Holy Spirit, again, the word is translated perfectly correctly. There are no mistakes or errors in the King James Bible, but it's translated comforter in relationship to the Holy Spirit, because when we're in trouble in a spiritual setting, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and comforts us by granting us assistance where we need it. And so that's the same word that we have here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 1, to entreat. To entreat. So instead of beating people up with words, we're to come alongside and help them. That would include physical help, but also emotional help and encouragement with words, because we're talking about the use of words here in this passage of Scripture. And so instead of criticizing, instead of beating up, why don't we lend a hand? Why don't we help? You know, I remember back when I was in the 10th grade and I took a class, and I remember the teacher one time saying, because teaching is a printing class, running printing presses and working some intricate machinery, and I remember the teacher saying that it's easy to criticize or find things wrong. That's what the way he used it, because in that scenario, that was it. It's easy to find what's wrong, but not very many people take that extra step to correct what's wrong. And so that's the way it's supposed to work in a church setting. And that's the idea behind entreating rather than rebuking. It's easy to criticize people and find where they're wrong, because we all make mistakes. And I think part of the wisdom of following God's advice and God's commandment, because entreat is actually a command that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to entreat others, supposed to come alongside and help them and encourage them and assist them where they need it. And we need to do that in order for the ministry to work the way it ought to work, because we all make mistakes. We can see everybody else's fault, but we have troubles finding the faults in our own eyes and our own lives. And so that's how we treat the elder gentleman, with respect. All right, when he talks about the younger men, he says the younger men as brethren. Now, you're probably pretty glad I don't treat you the way I treat my brothers. My older brother Dave, well, they're all older brothers at this point. He's living with my mom and kind of helping out there. You know, I still punch him. Aren't you glad I don't come up to you and punch you? I remember one time a few years ago, it was at Christmas time, and we were at my dad's house, and you know, I show up with my family, my brother came out to say hi. The first thing I did is I swung at him to punch him right here in the collarbone. That's kind of the thing, because that hurts. And anyway, he decided to duck, which isn't a good idea when you're swinging at that level, because I punched him in the nose and gave him a bloody nose. What a fine way to greet each other. Yeah, we don't shake hands. We give each other bloody noses. So aren't you glad I don't treat you like my brother? But the point is, with your brother, you're pretty bold, aren't you? You just tell them what they need to hear. You just say what's on your mind, and you're not mean about it. You say it in love, because it's your brother. And so some of you girls are saying, I don't treat my brother in love. Man, I just, whatever he's got to hear, right? But when you get older, you treat them differently, and you treat them with love. The respect is still there, but there's a certain amount of boldness where we're not afraid to say what we think will help them. We're not afraid to to do whatever's necessary to see that they succeed in life. And we always wish for their best. And that's the way we're supposed to treat each other. When we look at the younger men, oftentimes it's easy to see where they're lacking or where they need help. And sometimes we sit back and we just kind of talk among ourselves and say, you know what? I'm just going to pick on Aaron because he's so much fun to pick on. You know what Brother Aaron's doing? Man, he is such an idiot. And I'm just kidding. But it's easy to come along that way, but actually have the boldness to treat him as a younger brother and say, you know, Aaron, why don't you try this or try that? That's the way God says we're supposed to be. Come alongside and help, not just the elder, but the younger, treating them as a brother, in love, wishing for their best, not saying it crossly or unkindly, but always with Christian love. Now, when it comes to the elder women, we're supposed to treat them as our mothers. That's one thing I really appreciate about this church. My kids all had a whole bunch of grandmas, and they got adopted, and they still love you guys, and just the part that you had in their lives is just amazing. And some of you had different parts and different ones of my kids, and they appreciated that. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And we're supposed to return that the same way we treated our mothers. And in this I see love. Love. We're to treat each other with love. I mean, what child wouldn't do anything for their mother? I mean, think about that. Think about your relationship with your mom. And that's the way it's supposed to be with the women that are older than us in the church. And so that's how we're to treat the elder women. Now, the younger sisters are the younger women as sisters. And God puts in that phrase with all purity because he knows the hearts of man. And, you know, how many churches have you heard about that have been destroyed by men not treating the younger women as sisters? I mean, think about it. You know, one of the worst punishments my mom ever did, and she swung a mean belt, and we did everything we could to get away from that belt, but the worst punishment she ever could do is make us boys kiss our sisters. Because at that age, our sisters, I mean, we named them which one and which two. And I'm not saying W-H-I-C-H. We W-I-T-C-H. And that's just the way it was. And so if mom made us kiss our sisters, man, I'd rather she just took my life at that time before I had to plant my lips on her cheek. That was miserable. Because God, I believe, created in us certain biological things that you just can't even imagine kissing your sister or doing things with your sister that, and that's the way we're supposed to treat each other. We're not supposed to have impure thoughts towards one another in the church family. Yeah, and that's exactly what God's saying here. When it comes to a younger woman, we're supposed to have that pureness of mind and that pureness of thought and be the protector and the helper, and just like we would with our sisters. And so that's how we're to treat each other: respect, boldness, love, and purity. And I promise it'd be short, and that's all I got for tonight. But I think it's important, so don't let the brevity interfere with the importance of treating each other the way we ought to treat each other in the church family. Father, we're grateful for your word. Thank you that we can look into it and just the practical advice we have on our relationship with each other here. Father, bless us and maintain the unity of the spirit we've had here as long as I've been here, and I trust before that as well. And we know your blessing is there when we have that mind towards one another. So, Father, help us to always maintain the spirit. We know the devil wants to get in and destroy things, but, Lord, we know your Holy Spirit is more powerful and that you're praying for us to be in the center of your blessing. Help us always to maintain that. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.